one of our young people can read. I hope you have a Bible in front of you. I wish I had all of the young people, and I don't know where to begin that age. I guess I called Brother Terry the other day by mistake, and told him I had a message for our young people, and he said, "Well, I'm young at heart." I said, "Well, okay, we'll make this age 44 and under." I asked him, "How old you are?" He said, 44. I said, "All right, all young people, 44 and under." Or whatever. It'll apply to all of us. But I wish I had all of our young people sitting right out here on this front row this morning. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but I wish I had your ear. I hope God will give it to me. And this message is especially for our young people. Now, the Apostle Paul was about 50-some-odd years old when he wrote this letter. He wrote this letter to a young man named Timothy. I don't know how old Timothy was. Some speculate he was in his 20s here, maybe 30. I suspect 30 because they weren't allowed to preach and so forth or stand in the synagogue till they were 30. But the Apostle Paul wrote this letter out of true concern and a special love for those that were under his ministry. And Timothy was one. He was a young man that God had spoken to under Paul's preaching. And he had a special burden for this young Timothy, and he's writing Timothy from jail. Now, Paul's the one that's suffering. He's the one that's in trouble. He's about to get his head cut off. Very soon after he wrote this letter to Timothy, he got his head cut off. So this is not just some preacher. Like one man said, "I ain't just preaching now, I'm telling you the truth." It's not just some preacher up here rambling around trying to make an emotional appeal or whatever and trying to get somebody, quote, saved. This is Apostle Paul who's facing death and telling a young man that he loves and cares for, telling him, "Oh, I got a special burden for you and concern for you." So let's get right into it. May God give me a young Timothy, or I don't know what the feminine equivalent to Timothy is. We'll call her Susan. I don't know. Timothy or Susan, Sally, a young person. He says in verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ," is a messenger of Christ, "by the will of God." God chose Paul. God providentially placed Paul in the position that he was, and God placed me. God brought me here to this church, to you people. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he brought me here. "By the will of God, and it's all according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus." He's talking about the gospel. The gospel is the promise of life in Christ. And a preacher, a messenger of the gospel, he has one job, one duty, one concern. That is to preach the gospel. He has one concern, not only for himself, but for everybody that hears him, that they may win Christ and be found in him, that they might know Christ and be found in him. And that was Paul's desire for Timothy. And that's this Paul. God providentially gave me the name. That's this Paul's desire for you. I may call some names this morning. It's not any reflection on your spiritual condition at all. I just want to get your ear. But it's this Paul's desire for you, Wendy, Kevin, the young people, everybody, Nancy, everybody. It's my desire that you know Christ. I'm not just preaching. There's other things to do, easier things to do than just preaching. We got a true, heartfelt desire that you know Christ, who is the promise of life. He is life. Verse 2, he writes it, he addresses it to Timothy, "my dearly beloved son." Not just because of his age, but because he was the spiritual father and leader and guide of and teacher of Timothy. So is every pastor to a people. A father figure, if I may use that. "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." And I've said this before. It's one thing to love to preach, but it's another thing entirely to love those to whom you preach. I think you can tell. I think you can tell the difference. And God is my witness. I love and want the best for you people. The best, which is to know Christ. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Whether you know it or not, these are the things you need. Don't need a job, don't need a career. All those things you do. You need to get a job and get married and this and that and the other. Those are things you're concerned with. But these are the things you need more than anything, because this life is passing away. It doesn't seem like it to a young person. You feel like you've got all your life ahead of you. My best friend died when he was 15 years old. I pulled his body out of the basement. He'd asphyxiated. I personally went and found him dead and pulled him out of the basement and tried to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. 15 years old. My oldest brother, my idol, my hero, 21 years old. See, it happens. It happens. This life is fleeting. We need grace. The grace of God, the gift of God, which is Christ. Christ is the grace of God. Mercy. Young people need mercy too, because you're sinners too. I don't know anything about this age of accountability. I don't know when it is. God knows, because God knows every heart. He's not, there's no certain age. Well, I'll put this thing off till I'm 20, like they did in the old time. That's no assurance. You don't know that the age is 20. I don't know if there is an age. God knows every heart. He knows every constitution. He knows every person. He knows who He's dealing with. And He'll deal justly. He'll deal rightly. Right? Grace, mercy. You need the mercy of God. And peace. And where does this come? It comes from God. God's got to grant it. And it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our peace, who is the grace of God, who is the mercy of God. Well, look at verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve, and I do. I do. I do serve Him. His glory, His gospel, His Son, His people, not my own interest, but the glory of God. God, remove me if I'm in this thing for my own interest and not in it for your good. He said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. I have a pure conscience about this thing. I'm not just trying to count ahead this morning. I'm just trying to get you saved. Truly have a concern for your soul. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, verse 3, without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. There's an older fellow in the congregation up in Ashland. When the Lord started dealing with me when I was about 21 years old, I started coming to church before then. I grew up there, left home when I was about 17, as soon as I graduated, and went out and went wild. Well, came back. The Lord brought me back through various circumstances. And about 19 or 20, I started coming back to church. All the wrong reasons. My parents made me. I went back and moved back home. And they made me come to church. I didn't like it. I despised it. Despised them, thought they were cruel. Made me come to church. Well, about 21 years old or so, I was sitting there listening. Well, I wouldn't. By God's grace, I was listening that morning. But all the mornings up until then, I wasn't listening. I wanted to be somewhere else but there. Anywhere but there, but church. And you know where I was the Saturday night before? Well, that morning, God got my ear. I don't know when it was exactly, but I just know I was 21 years old or so. I started listening. How? Why? Why? Well, Brother Gerald Kuhn, this older man in the church, he said later on, after I made a profession of faith, was baptized, and was coming regularly, started out on the back row,
ended up on the front.
Interested. Ears wide open, eyes wide open by then. Interested. Let me tell me more about this It's uncool stuff. It's cool to me now. Brother Gerald came up to me one day with tears in his eyes, and he said, Brother Paul, he said, the Lord answered my prayer. So I've been praying for you for years. And Timothy, there's some people praying for you this morning. Forgive my tears. I can't help it. You got a mother and a dad. And some people in this church are praying for you. I'm praying for you. Calling names. Calling names before the throne of God. Praying for you. Verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, I may be filled with joy. Now, Paul saw Timothy for the last time, and who knows? Who knows? How might I not see you again? Might not. If this world gets a hold of you, I won't. If this world and all of its lust and temptations and desires and all gets a hold of you like it may have a grip on you now, you're going to be gone, lickety-split, and we'll not see you again. And Paul was hoping to see Timothy again before he died. He knew he was going to die. And I preach as a dying man to dying, as a dying man to dying men or dying young people. Young people die. Greatly desiring to see thee. See what? That you might be saved. Greatly desiring. Parents have many desires for their children. We desire, early we desire success. Don't we? We want our children to be successful in life. We want them to be happy. We want them to be happily married, have children, grandchildren. We can play with them, grandchildren, show them off. All of these things of this life, happiness, but above all, if you yourself, parent, are a child of God Almighty, you want one thing, chiefly and supremely for your child, that they might know the Christ you know. Shannon, that's what your mom and daddy want for you more than anything else. Right, Job? Right. That they might be saved. But Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, for my people, my children, for Timothy, to be saved. I know it's old-fashioned religious jargon. You've heard it time and again. But you must be saved. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance, Paul says, when I think about the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, Paul recalled with fond memories the parent and the grandparents of Timothy. And there's some people in here, some parents of children in here that know Christ, and I recall with fond memory. Wouldn't it be something, Joe Potter? You know Christ. I believe you do. I really believe you do. You give every evidence of knowing Him. Your eyes light up when I mention His name. And I believe God's given that interest to your son. And Steve, wouldn't it be something if Joseph, Aaron, if all three of you, 20 years from now, arm in arm, sitting right there on that pew, goodness gracious, what a gift of God Almighty. You don't realize, Mindy, we got both sides of our family know and love Christ. It's the greatest gift on this earth. A family. Because you don't know what trouble is. Some of you do. Who have unbelieving in-laws or whatever. Or parents even. You don't know what trouble is until you have family troubles and bickerings and quarrels and everything. But Joe, God save you. Steve, Sammy, their children. Shannon's children. Gracious sake, you're the most blessed man on the face of the earth. You'll be just crying out to God all the time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right? Thank Him right now. They're sitting right here. Right? Thank Him. Paul said, I call with fond remembrance the faith of your grandmother and your mother. Now he says, Timothy.
Verse 6. Look at it, Timothy. Look at it. Verse 6. I want to put you in remembrance about something. I want you to think about something. I'm trying to stir you up, Timothy.
Whatever it takes, Nancy. I want to do it. I want God to do it. Whatever it takes. Oh, boy. God give us some young men and some women that are interested in God more than the world and themselves. Who have their heads on straight. Who have their affections set right on things above. Who are looking for the truth, not just a good time. They're looking for good things. Things that differ. Try things that differ, Paul said to Timothy later. Try it! Who listen to their conscience, God's Word within. Who look, have a vision. Paul talked, the Scriptures talks about young men with vision. Where are the young men in our assembly? That 13th Street has 6 young elders. I was the 7th. 6 young men. All of them in their 30s. Well, Ron Trayburn's in his 40s. Bob is too. Young men. And a multitude of young men too. That class, that's Bible class in there with 40 or 50 young couples, 30s and 20s, young people interested with a vision, with the eyes open, looking to the future, looking to Christ, interested, want to know something about this. See the desperate need of these things. God grant our assembly right here some young people like that. Got any? With a vision, an eye to the future, a burden for the Word of God, for themselves. Goodness gracious, not just a burden for the world, but a love for Christ, a love for His gospel, His righteousness, a love for their parents, a love for God's people, not ashamed to be seen with them. Well, he says, I want to put you in remembrance. I want to stir you up. I'm trying to stir some young Timothy this morning, or Susan. Shannon, young person. And like I said, when I call you name, it's not any reflection on your spiritual condition. I haven't got anybody in mind here at all. I don't want you... Wait a minute. Yeah, I do want you to take this personally. I do. I'm trying to stir up a young somebody out of a worldly sleep. This applies to you and me too, Rick. We're very young men. Out of a worldly sleep, and call to remembrance the things you've been hearing already this morning. Think about it. Who God is. Who you are. Who Christ is. The reality of all this. 3 broad facts. You can't deny them. God is. God's Word exists. Jesus Christ was here. What are you going to do with it? Sound our man in, but that's, what are you going to do with these things? You need to think about it. You need to stir up your remembrance. Who God is, who Christ is. See your desperate need of Him. And the state of things around us. I said this last week, and I didn't mean to scare anybody. I thought about it later on. I thought, man, you might have scared them to death. Talking about you guys, John and Paul, talking about getting your draft cards ready. I didn't mean to scare you, but who knows, John? Right? You're a prime candidate, buddy, to go overseas if they call. If that's the end of this thing, you best be knowing Christ. Right? Well, look at verse 7. He says, verse 6, I want to put you in remembrance and stir up the gift of God. What is the gift of God?
Gracious sakes, repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads you to find out what you are. It's the goodness of God that points you to Christ to show your need of Him. It's the goodness of God to turn your neck that's twisted every which way in this world. Turn it straight. Put it on straight. Your head straight. To look straight ahead in front of you. Have your eyes open, your ears open. It's the gift of God and it's the grace of God to make a young person who's just wild about this world and everything in it stop, sit down, and calmly think about things in it. Very few who just stop and calmly consider what's going on, what they're doing. Right? Very few.
very rare for a young person to be interested in these things.
So very rare.
And he's saying, wake up, Timothy. Wake up. Stir you up. The gift of God is Christ, His gospel, His salvation. Look at verse 7. Now, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You don't need to be afraid. Of what? Of your peers. This is something that young people really have problems with. I know. In this thing of religion. Your friends. They don't have any interest for this. The friends of your husband or your wife or your classmates, they don't have any interest in it. It's old-fashioned. It's uncool. It's stupid in every other modern-day term that can be used. They don't want it. You going to church? Now, wait a minute, Timmy. Don't be afraid of these peers. Don't let them influence you. Don't be afraid. God is real. Jesus Christ is a real person. He walked this earth, and the testimony, the scriptures say He died, and He rose out of that grave, and He's seated at the right hand of God, and you... we're in His hands. He's a real person. And death is real. And a judgment to be faced. And as I said, I don't know what the age is. It's real. Now, don't be afraid because your friends don't think it's cool. You know, they're going to go to hell. Every last one of them. If they don't know Christ, same as we are if we don't know Christ. I ain't going with them. Just because they think it's not cool. Tell my misery loves company. Goodness gracious, I don't want to keep them company. Let them think it's uncool. Your drinking buddies or whoever it may be. Let them think it. Don't go to hell with them. You say, man, you're sounding old-fashioned. Gracious, if I... God, get a hold of us. That's what I needed as a young man, a sledgehammer between the eyes. Wake up. Wake up. Don't follow the bunch, the crowd. Follow Christ. Come to Christ. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Verse 8, that's the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. How could anybody be ashamed of this gospel? It makes me wonder about myself, doesn't it? Tarry the good news. The gift of God, the unworthy, unmerited favor of God, the gift of God, the gospel, the good news of life. Salvation. How could I be ashamed of that? Young person, how could you be ashamed of that which is going to save your life? Well, I know a lot of things. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. Look at it. And don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the preacher either. Don't be ashamed of the preacher. I am shameful. Yeah, I'm ashamed of myself, but don't be ashamed of me. I'm not trying to chalk one up for the preacher, notching my belt. I just want you to know Christ. Don't be ashamed of me either. The gospel. Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Turn with me to one verse. I'll try to hurry. I don't want to keep it too long. Look over Hebrews chapter 11 with me. All you young people, you got a Bible? Look over Hebrews chapter 11. He said, don't be afraid of be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And you are going to. You're going to be afflicted. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be thought a lot of things if you follow that which is good. Look over here at verse 24 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith. What is faith?
Faith's the gift of God. God did it.
And this young man, Moses. says, by faith, when Moses was come to years. What years? Certain age? No.
God's year. When God decided that Moses is going to hear His voice. When God called.
The year, the day of His power.
Terry's quoting it. When he was come to years, when he grew up a little bit, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. It comes a time. There is a choice to be made. I know what they're saying out there. Salvation's not in our hands. Is it, Janae? It's not in our hands. It's in the hands of the Lord. When does somebody say? When God speaks to that person. When God chooses. But there is a choice to be made. We cannot bear the responsibility of our choices and decisions and so forth. You've got decisions to make. Yeah, you do. What did Moses choose? To suffer affliction with the people of God. This is what I want. Joe, that's what I choose this morning. I choose to be here. My mom and dad didn't make me come to church this morning. There was a time when they did. And I did everything, tried every excuse I could find to get out of it. But now, you think about this, now I come willingly. There's a lady in the church at Ashland who had Cindy Thornberry. You know, Cecil, I talked about one day, faithful Cecil. You listen to about his wife. She had surgery on when? Was it Friday? Was it on a Friday? Said major surgery. Colon surgery. She's had terrible problems. And major surgery on Friday. Sunday morning, she was in church. Sunday night, she was in church. Why? She had to have it. She wanted to be. Everybody would have excused her for not being there. Everybody would have, surely she's not going to be there. You don't have to come. I told that to Mindy the other night, on Wednesday night. I said, honey, I know you're tired. She was, dragging around the house and this and that. I said, you don't have to come. Hey, I'll excuse you, you don't have to come. She said, but I want to. And Mom and Daddy didn't make me come this morning. Thank God, though, somebody else did. God made me. He gave me the desire, though, and the choice. And now, Shannon, I want to be here. You want to be here? Yeah, I want to be here. No place I'd rather be. I don't want to be down at Joe's bar. I want to be down at Joe's church. Hearing the gospel, hearing about this old-fashioned stuff a long time ago. I chose. Yeah, I did. I chose because He chose me. Well, listen. Go on here. Verse 9. He said, don't be ashamed. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. It's all according to the power of God who has saved us. God's got to save us and call us with a holy calling. God's got to call you. How's He do it? Me, right here. Could be right now. God is speaking through this vessel. You believe that? Yeah. That's how He does it. I'm not taking this on myself. I'm not saying that I'm God. Let any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. I'm speaking as the Word of God to you this morning. Believe Christ. Drop this world. Repent. Come to Christ. Or die. Why will you die, the Scripture says? Why? Why will you perish for a morsel of bread? Why for a drink in the night? Why? That's what we're going to be asking ourselves throughout eternity. Why? If God had killed me at 18, that's what I'd be asking right now. Why didn't I listen to the gospel? Why didn't I listen to my mama and daddy? Now listen. God doesn't use emotional appeals like this. I can't help it though. He doesn't use emotional appeals. No matter of emotion, no matter of tears, if I crawl back here on my hands and knees and beg you, that ain't going to do it. It wouldn't do it to me. I saw preachers cry and all that, and forgive me. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Only the gospel will do it. But you heard the gospel. Time and again, you grew up here. You've heard this gospel. And like I said, I don't know your state. I'm just pointing to everybody. I don't know your state. I don't know. God does. I think you do. God has to save us and call us with a holy calling. How does he do it? Through conscience. You got a conscience. Your conscience may right now be pricking you. Listen to it. The word of God right now is talking to you. Listen to it. Providence calls. Kids, your classmates dying around you, this and that and the other. Listen to Providence. Listen. Right, Nancy? Listen. This is how God talks. God doesn't speak. He's not going to come to you in the night and say, now listen, boy, you better straighten up. No, that's not how he does it. He does it right here. Right here, right now. And you're sitting here right now listening. Listen. He does it with a holy calling. This is a holy thing. This ain't uncool. This is holy. With a holy calling. Not according to our works. I don't care if you're a preacher's son, the son of a son of a son of a preacher. I was.
I'd have gone to hell at 18 or 20 years old, the same as anybody else. I was a preacher's boy. They say they're the worst. It's true.
I'm a deacon's daughter or son. That'd make a bit of difference. Make a bit of... You can't get into heaven on mama and daddy's coattail. Can't do it. Not going to do it. You must believe Christ for yourself. You must come to Christ. You must repent of your sins. They can't offer sacrifices for you. I hope you're not saying right now in your mind and heart, preacher, get through. Get off my case. Goodness gracious.
Oh, that God would get on your case and never let you go.
That he's got your case in his briefcase, in his bosom. And I'm talking to you young people. Andrew, Jennifer, you're going to have to know Christ someday. Yes, you are. Hannah, Sarah, Jennifer, Stephen, Catherine, I mean. God knows your name, Catherine. If I forget it, he knows it. This thing is given in Christ before the world began. You better hope your name's... This is what he's talking about when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'd be finding out if my name was written down. If I was, here's a name. There's a book with some names on it. I'm pretty interested.
You, Henry? You interested in your name being there? Oh, buddy. That's the reason I'm here every time. Tell me my name again. What is that again? Say it again. Sinner! That's me.
It's there. Still there. My name's still there.
Well, he says it's now appeared to us, verse 10. He's now made manifest by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ, right now, has appeared. Right here this morning. Christ is right now. He preaches more. He's appeared. Christ, who abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Goodness gracious, eternal life. Humanly speaking, this is the reason they're not interested, because you can't have no idea. I don't have any idea until God gave me some eyes and ears and a mind to think about eternity. We can't. All we got in our brain is this right here, this flesh. We can't see past this. Like animals, you know. Animals, all my cats are interested in is the next bowl of food. And that's us. That's animal children, or young, all people, old people, animals. Grumbling around, all into the next meal, next new suit of clothes, next new house, new job, raise money, whatever. That's all interested in. But you're not no animal. You're creating the image of God. God gave you a brain, a heart, and a soul. Something's going to happen to it. And this appeared right now, and God has brought to life and immortality light through the God. Has the light come on in your eyes a little bit this morning? A little bit? I hope so. Well, look, I'll quit. He says, I'm appointed a preacher. I'm appointed. I did not take this thing on myself. Paul, the situation, it's unbelievable to me. I just can't stress to you enough how unbelievable this is to me that I, Paul, am standing here preaching and not you, Paul, on the back row, a young man out there. It's unbelievable to me. If God lets you live long enough, you're going to look back and say, it's unbelievable. Here I am, 35 years old. This is the last thing I ever thought I would be, a preacher. When I was out there just digging all I could in the world, I was going to be a rock star or whatever. You know, I played a pretty mean guitar when I was about 15. Had a little band. I was going to be a rock star or something. I had it for a long time. I had in mind to buy me a Harley-Davidson Sportster and ride across the country, Joe. Me and my buddy. As soon as we graduated from high school, we had our money saved up on buy both of us Sportsters.
Be just like Bronson. Remember the show, Then Came Bronson?
I was going to buy me a Harley, and my buddy got married on me. Had to. Got married.
He's since been married 5 times. Doesn't know Christ.
He got married. Got put in jail, too, for heroin. That was God's providence. Stopping me. I was going to ride across the... What was I going to do? Just ride. What are you going to do tomorrow? Ride a little more. Gracious sakes. Now I'm a preacher. If you'd have told me that when I was 18, I'd have threw a bottle at you. Well, here I are. Goodness gracious sakes. Grace of God. Man, oh man. God granted that 10 years down the road that, oh wow, well, maybe there's a preacher in here. What if Kevin, goodness gracious Kevin, what if 10 years from now you standing back here preaching the gospel? Goodness gracious, wouldn't that be the greatest thing ever? What? And Wendy's sitting there just delighted in what you had to say. Look at verse 13. Now listen, or verse 12. Now listen, I suffer a lot of things. I'm suffering from you putting up with me this morning. Suffering these things. Paul suffered many things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Why? Because I know somebody. I ain't just preaching. I know somebody. It's somebody, Jesus Christ. And I know that He lives. And that in Him we live and have, move and have our very being. And you must know Him. Yes, you must. You must come to Him by faith. You must. He's real. You must. I know. I'm persuaded. How? By this gospel. I heard another man preaching. That man heard a man. 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 Preach this, just like this, about Christ, that He's able. About this able and willing Savior who's our righteousness, who shed His blood to forgive our sins. Because our
souls are worthy of death and shedding of blood. And somebody had to do it, you or me. And Christ, I see Christ did it.
And though He's able now to keep that which I've committed. And I have committed my soul to Him for safekeeping. There's a committal to make unto Him against that day. And there is a coming of day. There is. The workings of that day may be over there right now in Iraq, in Baghdad. The day. That day. What day? That day. Can't even describe it. No man's seen it, but it's coming. Now look at verse 13, and I'll quit. That good, hold fast. Hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. I've got nothing to gain by you being saved. I really don't. The deacons won't give me a raise. It won't be in the paper. Those Sunday school boards are going to hear about it. We got so many saved. That's what goes on today. And I got nothing to gain by you being saved.
Oh, but you do. Got everything to gain and everything to lose.
Everything.
So hold on to it, would you? That good thing, verse 13, that good thing. I gave you good thing. That's what Solomon said. It's good. I got to give you good counsel. Good thing. What thing? What good thing? The one thing needful. Christ, the one. Good thing. I give you a good news, good gospel, good advice, good counsel, good way. Something good to look into, worth looking into, worth considering. Hold it fast. Keep it. I know if you do, it'll be by the Holy Ghost. Verse 14. I know if you do, it'll be by the Holy Ghost. Keep it. Don't, now listen to me, young people. All people. All people. Young and old. Like I said, this applies. Is there a young Timothy in there? You a young Timothy, Henry? Yeah, I am. This is to me. Keep that you've heard this morning. Don't go out of here just as soon as this thing's over and turn your radio on and let Madonna or Guns N' Roses or Paul Abdul or whoever it may just wipe everything out that you've heard. Or the cares of this world. That's what Christ is talking about in that parable. The fowls of the air come and pick it away. Don't do it. I dare you. Bernard used to do this. I dare you. I double dog dare you to get it home in your closet and ask God to reveal Himself to you. Do it. I dare you. I've got nothing to apologize for this morning. I poured my heart out from God's Word to you. Now, you are responsible for everything I've said this morning. I was responsible to tell it. Right? If I didn't tell you, your blood's on my hands. I've told you. God give us a Timothy. Folks, older folks, wouldn't it be great? It's just so rare in young man, especially a small assembly, we don't have very many young people. God grant it that my daughter grow up loving the gospel. Sitting right here, later on with her daughter, your daughter, Jenny, sitting right here with her daughter, saying, honey, you listen. God grant that. He does. He blesses, early, He blesses the faithful forcing of children to hear the gospel. He blesses it. Yeah, He does. We had four children, three boys and one girl. Three out of four love the gospel. If one out of four loves the gospel, you're blessed. They're blessed. It's rare. But He does it. He might do all of them. Oh, boy. Wouldn't that be something? He doesn't have to. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need anybody. But He does it by grace. If you ask Him, He'll do it for you. You have His word on it. He did. He'll do it for you. You see your need, you ask God to show you your need. If you don't even see your need enough, ask Him to show it to you. Ask Him to point you to Christ, show you Christ, that you believe Christ. Say to your soul, I'm your salvation. He'll do it. Yeah, He will. You'll be sitting right here later on rejoicing in the same gospel that we're rejoicing in. And looking at other young people, say, why don't they see it? Oh, I wish they'd see it. Wish they'd see it. Well, stand with me. And Brother Rick, I wonder if you'd come up here and lead us in prayer. Dismiss us in prayer.
Our holy and sovereign God, we bow before Thee, praising Thy name, giving thanks that You've saw fit to meet with us this morning. Lord, take Thy word and apply it to our hearts. Make it effectual. Let us not leave this place and be quick to forget the things we have heard. But let's be mindful of them and enable us to come to the knowledge of Thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ. We ask for His glory and His name's sake. Amen.